Would you open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3? Galatians chapter 3. If you are our guest here today, we want to say welcome. We are so glad that you're here today. We are studying through the book of Galatians right now after we just took a little bit of a break. If you're a guest, you can be thankful for the last couple of weeks. I've been preaching on the biblical principle of giving, and you didn't get that. I know it made some of you nervous, or, I got word back this week that it made some of it uncomfortable. Good. It's supposed to. Every sermon ought to make you uncomfortable a little bit. You'll be all right. Just be obedient. That's all. Everybody okay? Everybody all right in here today? All right, okay. Just making sure. We're studying through Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. Paul says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith?" Father, thank you for your word. We pray that you would have freedom to do what you desire today in our hearts, among us, in our minds. Take your truth and pierce it deeply into us. Let your word truly be a double-edged sword that cuts through bone and marrow today, that exposes the spirit of man, that we might truly look to Jesus today. We give you honor and thanks, Lord, for your glorious grace. Pour out your grace upon us now. Come, Holy Spirit, and do your work among us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Okay. Rhetorical questions. Everybody understand the principle? I ask the question, you don't respond. Just think. Okay, I just want you to think for a bit. The most foolish thing you have ever done. What are you all laughing about? The most foolish thing you've ever done. Not your spouse. Not your family. Some of you are thinking about somebody else in your family right now, the most foolish thing that they've ever done. We're talking about you. I'm talking about one of those things that when you did it, you said, "What was I thinking?" Everyone in here, I'm just going to warn you parents for just a sec, okay? Let me warn the parents very quickly. I'm going to use the S word this morning a little bit in my sermon. Everyone in here has done stupid stuff. Everybody. If you can't say amen, you're lying. Everybody in here has done stupid stuff. You've made bad decisions. You've said dumb things. You have acted like an idiot. Now, don't point and no elbowing. All of us have done something that we look back on and you shake your head. You think, what in the world was I doing? And you think, somebody should have called me out on that one. It's like the story I heard about the truck driver who was driving down the interstate. And he came to a bridge that he recognized the sign on it says that it's 13-foot clearance. And he knew that his truck couldn't clear 13 feet. It would only clear 14 feet. And so he got out and he thought, what am I going to do? And his partner who was riding with him said, I got an idea. Let's let the air out of the tires. He said, what are you thinking? There's no way. You can't do that. And he goes, no, I measured it. Look, there's 6 inches on this side and 6 inches on this side. I can tell by looking at some of you, you have not. Yeah, that'll work, won't it? Please, somebody help your family member there, okay? Don't do that. Only gets flat on one side. We've all done foolish things. And this is what Paul is calling the Galatians out on. He says, you've done something foolish. You've done something that you should have thought about. You've done something that somebody should call you out on. Here's what had happened. You'll remember, as we studied chapter 1 and 2, they had heard the gospel message very plainly, very clearly. In fact, these people, these different churches, it wasn't a single church, these churches that were in the region of Galatia had heard Paul preach, and they had become convinced that they were indeed sinful, that they had transgressed against God, that they had been rebellious against the will of the Lord in their attitudes, their actions, in their thoughts, their words, their beliefs, their behaviors. They had become convinced that they indeed had fallen short of the standard that God had set for them in order to be made right with God. And in that, their sin had created an unbridgeable gap between them and God. They were separated from God. But Paul brought the good news of the gospel. And the gospel says that although each of us, the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that although all of us find ourselves in that condition, that God sent his son Jesus to stand in the gap. That Jesus came and lived a perfect life, a sinless life, to do for us what we could not do for ourselves, which is to reach across the chasm that's been created by our transgressions against God. They'd heard that Jesus came to bridge the distance that was created by their sin. Jesus did that on the cross. And he sealed it in the resurrection. He died for someone else's sin. He was charged and executed for your crimes and my crimes against God. That, my friends, is grace. If you want to understand the definition of grace, grace is not a prayer that you pray before you eat. Grace is God looking down upon sinful creatures and with great love saying, I will pay the price myself for what you did. Christ is that payment. Christ is grace. Jesus has saved us, not by what we have done, but by the goodness of God's gracious heart toward us. That's what they had heard. That's what they had believed. But along the way, someone came. Someone called the Judaizers. These were people who had become Christian themselves, but they were Jewish. The Galatians, for the most part, were not. They were Gentile believers. But these Jewish believers came to them after they had believed the gospel, and they said, it's a good thing. It's true. Jesus died. God's grace is good in that way, and that's a good start, is what they said. But you've got to finish it. You've got to complete it, and you've got to do that by keeping the law, by keeping the Sabbath laws, by keeping the law of circumcision for males, for doing all of the laws. And you'll remember there were 613 different laws that had to be kept by the Judaizers. They would say, God's grace is good, but it's not enough. Jesus started building the bridge by his death on the cross, but it's not complete. You have to finish it. In chapters 1 and 2, Paul has addressed them about this matter of what we call justification. That is, that by the grace of God, God mercifully looks upon those who have believed in him, who have trusted that what Jesus did is enough. In the sacrificial act of Jesus upon the cross, he sees us as forgiven, as cleansed, and as innocent. That's where we get that word justified, just if I'd never sinned. That's how God looks upon those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Galatians initially believed this, but they began living their lives according to the law, as though by their own merit, their own accomplishment of keeping the law, they could keep themselves good with God. You see, in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul says, "O foolish Galatians." The truth is that the word that he uses there is, Paul says, that's stupid. In fact, there's one translation that says, "You idiots. What were you thinking? What were you thinking when you saw this happen right in front of you?" It's so ludicrous to Paul that he says, there's no way that you could be this dumb on your own. In fact, he says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" There's no way you could be this dumb on your own. Who cast a spell on you? Who put their voodoo on you to make you think this? You're acting like mindless zombies. I don't know if any of you watch those movies. He says that you're spiritually, you're just kind of walking in this weird funk. You're not seeing it straight. You're not getting it right. The gospel of grace was given to you as clearly as it possibly could be given. He says in verse 1, "It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified." The gospel was preached. The words were given. The word there is actually, the words were scribed out for you so you could read it and see it clearly. It was right before your very eyes. But the problem was that the Galatians had backtracked. Truth be known, they had done what an old school word that we don't use in church very much anymore, but I preached a sermon on it not too long ago. They were backslidden. They had backslidden in their beliefs, which had led them to backslide in their behavior. I see many Christians do this. Let's be frank, I do this. So do you. I see many of us Christians, many of you, claim that Jesus saved you, but you live like it's up to you somehow. We have to protect what the scriptures say. We must protect what we believe, or we become foolish in our backsliding. So I had 3 points that I want to share with you this morning. I'm only going to share one. You'll see why in a little bit. I'll give you all 3 of the points because some of you won't sleep for the next week if you don't get all 3 of those things, those blanks filled in. So we'll pick it up next week as well. The point I want to talk to you about today is, first of all, we see these 3 beliefs, these places where they had foolishly been backsliding. First of all, backsliding on justification, backsliding on how you're saved. Secondly, backsliding on sanctification, meaning that we've moved away how we're supposed to live. And then thirdly, backsliding on confirmation. We'll look at the next two next week. But I want us to look, first of all, at this foolish thing that was happening among the Galatians. And I want to plead with you today that we not fall into this. That we live lives that are filled with grace. And that we live by grace. And that we cling to Jesus today. So let's look at backsliding on justification. This is where it all begins. This is the most important issue, Paul says. In chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified." And then in verse 2, he says, "Let me ask you only this." Or another way he says that is, "Let me ask you the most important question. There's nothing else that's more important than this. Let's lay this foundation right here." And by the way, all three of these issues that he addresses, the justification of our faith, the sanctification by our faith, and the confirmation of our faith, all of these are done by him asking rhetorical questions. It begins here with this first one. In verse 2, he says, "Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith?" Now let me clear this up very quickly here. This idea of receiving the Spirit. This is not talking about some kind of second blessing. This is not talking about after you have been saved that you receive another dose of the Holy Spirit. In fact, this word that he uses here, "receive the Spirit," he is talking about salvation. He is talking about the moment that someone has come to faith in Christ. He's talking about that moment that someone has moved from life, from death to life, from darkness to light, that the Spirit of God has come, and as God has cleansed a person of their old nature, that God has filled that believer with his Holy Spirit. I love this about how God loves his children. He didn't save us and then leave us on our own. In fact, he said, "I will never what? I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you." And how does he do that? The scripture tells us time and time again that God deposits his Holy Spirit immediately into the life of the person who believes. One who is saved by grace has been sealed by the Spirit. The Bible says that now the building is not the temple of the Holy Spirit, but the believer is now the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the reason why you're convicted of sin or you're led into grace is because the Spirit of God lives inside of every believer to direct you, to guide you, to teach you, and to uplift you. That's the good news of the gospel today. When he says that we receive the Spirit, he is talking about receiving salvation. He's talking about you being cleansed from your sin. That the God of all the universe in the third person of the Trinity comes to live inside of you and to constantly bring you before the throne of grace. If you're saved, you've received the Spirit. The Galatians were saved. They had come to faith. They had believed on Jesus. They had trusted in what Christ had done on the cross. And when you trust what Christ has done, God implants his Spirit in you. In fact, it's Paul's favorite phrase that he uses. There's no phrase that Paul uses more than that phrase. Christ in you. Christ in you. What's he talking about? He's talking about the regenerative nature of the Holy Spirit that comes and regenerates you, saves you, and transforms you. This is exactly what it means in that passage in 2 Corinthians when it says that old things have passed away. It means the old nature of man, when you've confessed your sin and you've called upon the name of Christ, that your old nature, your old sinful, depraved, rebellious nature dies. It passes away. In fact, it says, the Bible says that it is crucified with Christ. The old man is put to death. And when it says all things have become new, he's talking about the Spirit of God coming to live in you and reside in you and always be with you. Paul asked the Galatians, did this thing, this filling of the Spirit when you were saved and now he resides with you, did that happen because you were doing the works of the law? Did that happen to you because you were meticulous in all 613 of the Jewish laws, but especially the Ten Commandments? Did it happen to you because you've been circumcised or because you were doing keeping the laws of the Sabbath? You could only walk so far, only do so many things. Was it because you did your work and you were meticulous about all of it so that you earned that? Was it that you worked the law, or was it because God worked in you? He asked him the question. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law, or by hearing with faith? We are made right before God by faith. By trusting in what Christ has done. That's the word believe. We have so construed that word believe. We make it into, I believe that this pulpit is wooden. Well, great. But I don't trust it enough for any of you to come up here and dance on it. We believe, when we believe, it means we have trusted in, we have turned our life completely over to, we've resigned our life to this fact that Christ died in my place on the cross, bore my sin, took on my shame, and he put the penalty of my sin to death. And the way that I believed, Romans 10 says, is faith comes by hearing. By hearing. And hearing by the word of God, or by the gospel, by knowing that it's not by our works that we're saved, but it's what Christ has done. Paul says it doesn't happen by keeping the law. It doesn't happen by working a little bit harder, or by recreating yourself according to the rules, or by any kind of resolutions, or by, if I could just dig a little deeper and make myself a little bit better, I'll make myself a little bit closer to God. And Paul says, you idiots. I didn't say it. He did. He says, how foolish that we believed on the grace of Christ to save us, and now we're moving away from that. It's so powerful. The law wounds, but grace heals. The law condemns, but grace saves. The law speaks death, but grace speaks life. Paul says, what are you doing? Think long, think deep, think hard upon Jesus and be justified. Where even the worst of sinner is made right with God. This is such good news for us today. Some of you might be sitting there saying, Man, he's just preaching to the lost again. No, I'm preaching to you. Because we need to hear the gospel over and over and over again. Because the gospel, even for the believer, brings life. It brings vitality. Oh, to contemplate the grace of God that you've received in your life. To gain the hope that you can have when you look to Christ and remember that I was a rebellious sinner who deserves nothing but judgment and condemnation, and yet Jesus saw good enough to reach down to me and grab me in all of my filth and pull me up and cleanse me and make me his own, to forgive me and set me on the trail of righteousness. Oh, how wonderful it is to think and to contemplate on the cross of Christ. We want to go deep in theology or deep in prophecy or deep in Bible study. Can I say, just go to the foot of the cross. It's deep enough. You will never come to the end of the grace of God. You'll never dig far enough that you, so deep that you can't reach more grace. More grace. Well, I just want to grow in my Christian life. Well, let me just say, you want to grow more in your Christian life, then run to the cross. Sprint to the cross of Christ. Let me turn this to those of us who are saved for just a minute. Because I want us to not backslide in how we tell people to be saved. For some time we had all those Hoosier One cards that were up here, right? And there's been a few people who've been able to come and pull those Hoosier One card out because we saw somebody go through the baptismal waters. We saw people saved. This morning I came here early. Didn't sleep much last night because I pulled a card today. But it's not because he got saved. This week I had the opportunity to share the gospel 3 times. I'm not saying that for me. I just want you to know. I had the opportunity, plenty of opportunity to share the gospel, and I'm glad I'm able to. But I pulled the card this morning because my one committed suicide Friday. My one. My one. A guy that I coach or was coaching in the gym. I've been praying for him. And when I started coaching, we had worked out together in the evenings or the afternoons. But when I started coaching in the mornings. And so I just didn't see him much anymore. The last time I talked to him, I said, why don't you come to church? Why don't you come to church with me? And as soon as I did, he kind of gave me that, you know, oh, I don't know how to react to this. And that was it. You know, I thought about this a lot last night. I got a text in the middle of watching the ball game last night. I sure hope that he didn't think that me asking him to come to church, there's nothing wrong with us asking people to come to church. It's a good thing. It's a very good thing for us to ask them to come to church. But coming to church is not how you're saved. Coming to church doesn't wipe away any of your sin. Now, I want you to know I'm okay. I'm sad. And I don't hold myself responsible. But I can tell you this, that your pastor will be more bold than I've ever been before. Because it's a hard burden to bear. What about your one? You don't know. That's what I found out last night, about 8:30. You don't know. You don't know how long. You don't know how long you have. You don't know how long you have on this world. That's why the writer of Hebrews says, while it is called today, call upon the name of the Lord while he may be found. Church, I want us to never mistake how people are saved. You and I, not just me, not just this church staff, but every believer has been given the task, the responsibility, and the privilege to A, know what the true gospel is, and B, to share the gospel. So not only have we backslidden on what we believe about justification, but I think in some ways we've backslidden on what we're telling people. Are we telling people, hey, I don't mean it with our mouth, but I just mean in our actions. Are we telling people, hey, look at my life. I'm so different. Folks, that's the law. Your life doesn't save anybody. Jesus' death is what saves people. Jesus' sacrifice is what saves. Jesus' grace is what saves people. And so I pray that this morning that there will be a new fire set inside of us, that there will be a determination that will be ignited inside of us to share the truth of the gospel, to help people to know how they can be justified before a holy God. The news is important and the times are urgent. People all around us are filled with utter brokenness. And you can't fix your own brokenness. You can't fix someone else's brokenness. Only Jesus heals. Only Jesus forgives. Only Jesus rescues us. So let us never believe that you or anyone is saved, is made right with God, partly by Jesus and what he did on the cross, and finished by you making yourself better, cleaning up your act, coming to church, changing your life, getting it straight, getting on the right road, becoming more moral. Listen, Jesus starts it and Jesus finishes it. And Jesus does it all the way through. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It is finished. It's complete." We have all of salvation that's been purchased for us. It is only ours to believe, to trust. Have you trusted in Christ for all of your salvation? Have you? Have you believed on Christ? You don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what awaits you outside of these walls today. Today, come to Christ. Come to faith. Trust in Jesus. His grace is sufficient for you. If you say that you're not strong enough, I say good, Jesus is. If you say that you're not good enough, I say good news, Jesus is good enough. If you're not spiritual enough, good, perfect, confess your sin and Jesus will set you free, but you must be justified now. by leaning wholly on Jesus. And let us, church, never lead anyone to believe that they can be right with God by a little bit of faith in Jesus and by coming to church or cleaning themselves up or doing whatever they can find to do. There are several stories in the Bible that tell us of just these kind of things. Luke chapter 10, you probably remember this story. It says, "Behold, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test. He said, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" What shall I do? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. Your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You've answered correctly. Do that and you'll live." Do it. What was Jesus saying? Do the law and you live? No. No. Jesus was saying, "Yeah, brother, if you can do all of that perfectly, you're good to go." You remember what this fella said to him? He suddenly realized, "Oh, no. I can't do this perfectly." What was the last thing Jesus said? Well, who's my neighbor? Who am I supposed to think is my neighbor, Jesus? I mean, you said, do to your neighbor as well. Then who is my neighbor? Jesus tells him the story of the Good Samaritan. You remember this? I've always found it interesting that Jesus didn't use a Samaritan as the guy who is injured and is laying on the ground, and it's the Jewish guys who come back to help the Samaritan. That would make sense for them to walk by and go, "Oh, it's a Samaritan. We're not going to help him." Mm-mm. Instead, Jesus uses a Samaritan as the hero of the story, as the guy who comes by and finally looks down and helps the man. Why? Because the people that Jesus was talking to would have been disgusted by it. In fact, the man that he was talking to, he says, "So who is the one who is justified?" He can't even bring it to his mouth to say, "It was the Samaritan." So what does he say? He says, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said, "You should be more like a Samaritan." Can't believe it. Over in Matthew 19, there's a similar story. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. You all know this. It's the story of the rich young ruler. "Behold, a man came up to him saying, 'Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?' And he said to him, 'Why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments.'" The way Jesus says that is to keep the commandments perfectly. "He said to him, 'Which ones?'" So, I mean, I think Jesus probably wanted to go, maybe this is where Paul got it. He wanted to say, "You idiot. You foolish guy. Which ones? Okay, sure. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. Love your neighbor as yourself." Young man said to him, "I've kept all of those. What do I still lack?" And then Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, go. Sell what you possess, give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." And when the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. It wasn't that he didn't care about the poor. He knew he couldn't be perfect. And neither can you. Neither can I, because there's nothing that you can do to earn your salvation. How foolish we've become. How foolish we've become to believe that we can save ourselves. It's just foolish. To believe that you can add anything to Christ's perfect sacrifice. He's perfect. That's foolish. To believe that people would be led to grace by looking at the law that's in our lives, that's utter nonsense. It's foolish. It's foolish to think that people will know justification in Jesus without us telling them. We've become foolish. In many ways, the church is just letting air out of the tires. People all around us are broken, and they need the healer. Perhaps you're broken today. Perhaps your secret life that you're living on the outside, you're fine, you're good, everybody thinks that you're doing well. That seems to be what was happening with my friend. But on the inside, you're absolutely broken. What you need is a healer. And Jesus happens to be that healer. So come to Christ today. Come and be forgiven of your sin today while you can. Come to the Savior who opens his arms to the worst of sinners. Bring all of your sin, bring your shame, bring your backsliddenness, bring your brokenness. Bring all of that to the broken body of Christ that hangs on the cross and watch God bring resurrection and transform life to you and to me and to a world that needs healing and justification. But it can only find it in Christ. So let me ask you this question. What are we doing, church? I pray that what we are doing is telling people that the greatest news in all of the world is that Jesus Christ is alive. That he died on the cross to purchase redemption, to give them transformation, a new life. Not a religious life, but a clean life. To be made right with God. And I pray today that we would be urgent about telling them the good news. Let's pray together. Perhaps today you know that you need to be saved. You know that if you were to step into eternity today, right now, in your current condition, you're not certain that you could stand before God. God is so loving and so kind that he made a way. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, by trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And you? It is but for you to believe, to trust in the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says, if you would confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. God has given his miraculous grace to you. There is no law for you to keep. There is only grace for you to receive. You know that you need the grace of Christ today. Would you come? Would you come today? Our staff would love to share with you how you can know Christ, how you can know the grace of God. Or perhaps you're like me today and you need to come to this altar and pray and say, God, give me boldness. Give me a burden. Give me grace to share the gospel with all that I know that need Christ. While today you can still hear the good news, come and receive Christ. We're going to pray, then we'll stand and sing. And if you need to come to this altar today, perhaps you need to come and pray for your one. Or perhaps you need to pray for boldness that God would give you opportunity to share the gospel. If you need to be saved today, don't wait another minute. If you need to come to Christ, come now. Stand right where you are right now and walk to one of these open doors. Nobody will see you doing it. Just walk right to one of these open doors right now, and our staff will share with you how you can know Christ. But there is no use in you leaving from this place and possibly entering eternity without Christ as your covering. Come to Christ today by faith. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for the hope that we have in Christ. And God, today I pray that we would return to our justification, that we know that it by faith that we have been saved by Christ. God, help us to be bold to share that good news. Let us be the people of God, to share the good news of the gospel of God, that people would come to Christ. We praise you and we give you thanks today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand together for a few moments.